We're going to pause at this moment and just kind of look at this little snapshot here. This is what's called the nativity scene. Of course, the main focus is the baby. Everyone has come to admire the baby and worship the baby. I want to take just a few minutes and just kind of think through this scene with you, if you'll allow me to. First, let me just mention the wise men. These were the Magi. They're from the east, probably Persia. We don't know exactly how many there were. There were at least two. There were more than one. The fact that they had three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, suggests that there were three of them, but we're not sure about that. The truth is, they don't actually belong in this scene because it was probably 2 years or so. These were astrologers, astronomers. They looked at the stars and they saw the star that announced, they knew, the coming of the king of Israel. And so they followed that star. Probably took them on a journey almost 2 years to get here. So the baby and mom and dad were still in Bethlehem, but probably a toddler now. And so they don't necessarily belong in this scene, but they're certainly part of the Christmas story. So we put them here and welcome, guys. Of course, there's Mary, Mama. Probably just a young girl. There's a good chance she's not more than 13 years old, certainly not older than 16, because that was just the age that girls got married and had babies in those days. She's just made a long trip, over 80 miles, while carrying this baby. Probably walked, may have had a donkey. She's wore out, just been in labor, just delivered the baby, and she's wrapped him up after he was laid on her breast. She nursed him, and then she wrapped him up and put him in this manger stall. There's Joseph, of course, the strong father who is watching over all of this, protecting his wife and his child, his firstborn child. He really didn't plan on all of this. It just kind of happened this way. You know, interestingly enough, there's not one word in the scripture that Joseph says. We know he's there. The angel speaks to him, but his words are not recorded. We don't know of anything that he said. I picture him kind of as the strong, silent type, you know, who is just there watching over, protecting. This is his family now. Probably not more than 20 years old. So here we are in a stable in Bethlehem. Now, why Bethlehem? Mary and Joseph were from Nazareth up in Galilee, as I said, about 80 miles to the north. What would bring them all the way down south of Jerusalem to Judea to this little town of Bethlehem? Well, God has a way of orchestrating everything. They're here because there's a king in Rome. His name is Caesar Augustus, by the way. The word Augustus refers to godly. In fact, Caesar was a man who would be God. What's happening here today is a God who became a man. First of all, a baby, of course. Anyway, Caesar Augustus decided he needed to count everybody in his realm. He wanted to tax them, and so he issued a decree. And because of that decree, Mary and Joseph, who were both of the lineage of David, and that's very, very important. That's what brought them both back here. If Mary had not been of the lineage of David, she could have stayed in Nazareth. But she was from David's lineage as well, as was Joseph. And so they came to Bethlehem because Bethlehem was the home of David. And they had to come home to be counted and then to be taxed. Now, evidently, they didn't plan it out. It just kind of happened that way. In fact, we know that there was a that there was one or an unseen hand behind the scene that was guiding everything. Caesar Augustus thought he was in control. It turned out that the Lord God Almighty was in control, because hundreds of years before he had had his prophet Micah proclaim that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. God brought it all about. So Mary and Joseph took that journey. And that was probably a week-long journey, perhaps even a 10-day journey, just because Mary is expecting, by the way. And so all the way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, a very difficult, hard journey. They got there that night, late, and there's no place to stay. Dr. Luke tells us that there was no room in the inn or the staying place. It was probably just a home that had some extra rooms in it. And Bethlehem was such a small town, certainly not more than one inn or one staying place. It was full. Well, Joseph, he's got to take care of his family. His wife is about to give birth, so he begins looking around. Nothing is available. And so he finds this stable. You know, you would have thought that if God orchestrated everything like getting them down to Bethlehem so that the baby could be born there, he could have also made a reservation for them at the local Motel 6. But anyway, he didn't do that. I wonder why. So Joseph finds this stable, and in our mind or our picture, the stable is this wooden contraption, but it certainly wasn't that. The people in that day did not use wood for things like that. The stable would have been nothing more really than just kind of a dugout place in the hillside, a cave, if you will, a place where the animals could be sheltered. And there that night, in that little stable, I think obviously in my mind I see the angels watching over, the Lord of glory, the King of kings, baby Jesus, for the first time, God in the flesh drew his breath. And the first breath that he took was filled with the pungent aroma of animal dung. Just think about that. Why did God have his son born in a stable? I think so that it would remind all of us that he just didn't come for the nice, rich, churchy people. He came for everybody. You know, just a mile or so south of Bethlehem, King Herod the Great had a marvelous palace. It's called the Herodium. It had 200 marble steps. It would have been encircled with torches that night. It would have easily seen from Bethlehem. And by the way, it had a swimming pool that was larger than two Olympic-sized pools. I mean, it was very palatial. You would have thought that the King of Kings would have been born in a place like that. Instead, he's born in a manger, in a stable. Because God, see, came for everybody. Everybody. Which brings me to the shepherds, and they're really the ones that I just want to focus on for the next few moments. I want to read to you Luke's account. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It says, in the same region, shepherds, how many shepherds? More than one, were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I think that's probably an understatement. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, is born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to people he favors. And when the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. These shepherds were the lowest of low in society. Because the shepherds were nomadic and they moved around, sometimes they had a problem remembering what belonged to them and what belonged to everybody else. And so sometimes their fingers got a little sticky and they went off with things that didn't belong to them. So they were not trusted. In fact, shepherds were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law because it was felt that they could not be, their word could not be trusted. So these guys, young and old, very poorly educated, if any education at all, stink because they take care of sheep, and sheep stink. They didn't have the opportunity to take a bath at all. So these guys that were the complete and total social outcasts are the ones that God chose to make the announcement to. Isn't that interesting? That has just always fascinated me. Why the shepherds? Why didn't you go down and tell Herod, or why not the priest up at the temple? By the way, these guys would not have been allowed in the temple. They couldn't do the ritual washing and all of those type of things. So there they are that night. And if you just kind of get this picture in your mind, this is kind of the way I do it. They're sitting around. It's not really an unusual night kind of like any other night. Oh, there is an unusual star up there. Never seen anything like that. Maybe they were sitting around talking about that star. All of a sudden, the sky just seemed to explode. There's an angel there. And it says they were terrified. Again, I think that was probably an understatement. I don't mean to be crude, but I would guess they probably had to clean themselves up afterwards. This doesn't happen, do you understand? And the angel, the first thing the angel said, "Hey guys, don't be afraid. Fear not. I've got some good news for you." And then he makes the most remarkable presentation. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. You'll find the baby wrapped up, lying in a manger." All of a sudden, the sky exploded once again. Now, not just one angel, but countless angels. I mean, just get that picture in your mind. And they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens." Watch this. "Glory to God in the highest heavens. And down here on earth, peace, peace, goodwill toward men." Well, when it was all over, you can imagine, they're on the ground now, looking around at each other wide-eyed. "Did you see that? Did you see that? What was that all about?" And then they begin to talk about it. And finally, somebody said, "Well, there's Bethlehem. Let's go check this thing out." And so they left probably the youngest one out with the sheep. And the rest of them, we don't know how many, at least two, maybe more, made their way into Bethlehem. Now, in my mind, and again, these guys aren't the most educated guys around, and they're not the most socially graceful guys around. So I can almost see them, you know, they're coming into Bethlehem going, "Okay, where's this thing? Where is this kid?" I can see them knocking on the first door. "Hey, is there a baby in there? Hey, we were told. Hey, there was an angel." And you know, you can hear somebody yelling out the window, "Get out of here, you creeps. Shut up." They go down the street, knock on somebody else's door. Everybody's mad at them now because they've woken up the neighborhood. Finally, some of them said, "Now, what did that angel say about, oh yeah, we would find the baby in a manger? That's a cattle trough. Let's look at the stable." So they begin to search around. Finally, they find a cave. It's got some animals in it, maybe. I can almost picture them, you know. So they come in and they're kind of poking each other. "Hey, look, there's a couple in there. Hey, is that a baby? That's just what the angel said it's a baby. This must be it. Now, at this point, I really think that probably Mary and Joseph were pretty excited. I mean, first of all, if you can remember, if you've had children before, your first baby, but you know, this whole thing was kind of crazy, weird. And it had been 9 months at least since Mary had heard from the angel, about that long since Joseph had heard from the angel. And I'm wondering if they're beginning to wonder, this stable and everything, the cow is getting a little unruly over here. What in the world? Is this really, did we just imagine all that stuff? Or is this really God? And then the shepherds come in and they confirm it. I mean, if anybody could confirm it, it would be these guys. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so now she's really excited. And in my own mind, and this is kind of the picture I get. So the shepherds are, you know, they're admiring the baby and everything. And they're talking about all this because Luke tells us that they told him everything that the angel had said. And I can't help but feel that Mary asked the question. The question that it seems like every new mother asks to somebody who comes see the baby. Do you know the question I'm talking about? So they're sitting here looking at, and she says, do you want to hold him? Do you want to hold him? May I? Well, do you know, there's a lot of evidence that these shepherds were the ones who tended the flock for the temple. That is, they were keeping the sheep that were the spotless lambs, the ones who were sacrificed at the temple, because, you know, the lambs had to be spotless. They had to take great care with those lambs. Every morning and every evening, a lamb was sacrificed at the temple as a burnt offering. And then, of course, at Passover, the spotless lambs. And this shepherd, who has been holding those spotless lambs for how long? Who knows? And now he's holding, yes, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Could you just flash forward with me about 30 years? It's the Passover now, and Mama, I'm going to have to give you back baby Jesus. It's the Passover now. And maybe it's these same shepherds. They're on their way into Jerusalem from their place out south of Bethlehem with their lambs. They have to go by the garbage dump. And that day there's something else going on. There's a group of people. They're screaming and hollering. And they see three crosses. They ask somebody, what's going on? Well, this is that Jesus, the one who claimed to be the Son of God. And all of a sudden, they just flash back to this scene. The spotless lambs that they're carrying with them. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember what the angels had said to them when they sang the song, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. Peace, goodwill towards men. You know, they weren't talking about peace, that is, no war. They were talking about personal peace. They were talking about spiritual peace. They were talking about what God said in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because you see, we're all sinners. We're all shepherds. We can't make it on our own. We're at enmity with God, the Bible says. That means we're at war with God. But this spotless Lamb of God comes and He brings peace. Peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill to those that He favors. That is the grace of God poured out upon all flesh. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. The grace of God poured out upon you through Jesus, who was born in that stable, laid in a manger, and then died on the cross for your sin. He brings peace. And you know what that gives you? It gives you something called joy. Remember the very first thing the angel said to these guys? He said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Remember what it said about these shepherds? After they came, saw the baby, I think they probably held him, passed him around. You know, would you like to hold the baby? Come on, yeah. So they all did that. And then it says they went around and they told everybody. I can see them coming like this, kind of like this. Hey, we just saw the Messiah. We saw Him. He's real. He's born. He was for us. I mean, the angel and everything, we heard it. We saw Him. He's there. You ought to come see. I can imagine them just going from door to door all over Bethlehem. I mean, just come on, people. He's here. What are you sitting there for? I mean, the joy. The joy. Because you see, when Jesus comes, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what that does is gives you joy. The choir's going to do one more song, the song, as we just honor and worship and rejoice in Him. Come on. Come on.